Wouldn't it be nice if we could all be billionaires? But unfortunately, we cannot. And in fact, in the South African context, we are on the opposite spectrum. New report from the Finmark Trust's annual FinScope Consumer South Africa report shows that nearly half of South African adults are struggling to afford food and electricity. 40% of adults are resorting to borrowing money to buy food. So very tough economic times that many households are finding themselves in. And to try and make sense of some of this, what the report had found and some of the pressures on households, we are joined by our resident certified financial planner, Paul Roelofse. Paul, a very good morning to you. Good to have you on the show as always.
Hi, good. Great to chat to you. And what a stark article that was all about really leveling the understanding of what's really happening in our economy.
Yeah.
People are struggling, Gugu. That's the bottom line. And I know we've echoed that a few times, you know, in various shows. But the point is that it's not getting better, is it? It's there. And this 20-year span of or comparison that the survey addressed just shows the depth of how households are just not getting through. They're not getting through at all.
And the things that households seem to be struggling with is seemingly the basics. So things that households can't really avoid having to spend money on, things like food, things like electricity, things like transportation. Those are the things that most households, well, all households can't really get around spending on. So it's basics that we're talking about for the most part.
Not true. It's really that's the substance of this article. I think it points to people can't have the nice to haves. They're just trying to get through the must haves. When you look at food and you've got to go out and borrow money to pay for food, I mean, that is a serious consequence for the future as well. Because I think for me, what really came out is if you're in that particular space where you've got to borrow money now to eat, it means that you're not saving for your future either. So the problem is now down the road, whereby savings is a non-event. And how do you ever become financially independent? How do you ever build up some form of wealth whereby you can, you know, live off it one day in the future if you're struggling to get through now? So savings is the big problem here. And it's going to have a huge impact on people's livelihoods down the road when it gets to that time where they, you know, they need to retire or they need to depend on something else in terms of a means. So to me, it's there. That's the kicker here. I see in the survey too that there was a vast decrease in retirement savings. It went from 17% down to 12%. And again, you can understand it. The point is that people, you've got to eat now. So while you can't starve yourself until you get to 65, for example, you've got to have the must-haves now. And I think this has a further impact down the road, as I say, for our economy.
And I mean, just on that point, the survey finding or the data finding that 2/3 of middle-class individuals earning between 9,999 rand and 20,000 rand do not have retirement financial products. We often get told that even those of us who are investing, if you do have a product, chances are you haven't saved enough. I recently did an assessment of, where I am in terms of, all of my, I guess, safety nets. And I thought I'd saved enough and turns out I didn't. And I have a retirement annuity, a life policy, but I didn't have money for dread disease or income protection so that if something happens to me or I can't work, I can still meet my obligations. Whereas here, about 2/3 of middle-class individuals just don't have anything at all. So if there is a knock, and we've discussed some of these knocks, these unexpected situations, we are seemingly, for the most part, just we have no cushions, we have no safety nets.
Well, you're riding the risk, in all departments. If you have no form of insurance at all, I mean, then you just really have to live from day to day and hope that nothing happens. And as you call them correctly, they are safety nets. They give you this financial peace of mind that if you have a life-changing event, you know, I am catered for. It's interesting that you say that, you know, people have retirement annuities and when you get to the actual value of them, is it enough? That's the biggest question that we face as financial planners is, yes, you have these products. And when we bundle them together and we try and interpret how much they do provide for you, there often are shortfalls, Gugu. You know, it's all about the ever-increasing demand on our households, again, with inflation coming into it. Never underestimate how, you know, inflation erodes the value of your money into the future. And you have to be very, very diligent around that in terms of preparing those provisions. It's not about just having a value at 65 or whenever you decide to retire. It's just how long will it last? And that's where most of the provisions are found wanting. So you've got to do some very comprehensive stuff there. But the point here in this article is that people can't even see past the next month, let alone, you know, in 20 years' time when they decide to retire. People are struggling. And how do we get out of this? Because inevitably what's going to happen is it's going to create a poverty cycle where you're locked in, where you're dependent on social grants, you're dependent on the state to provide, you're dependent on your children to even look after you sometime in the future. Because if you're not saving, you're not building any form of financial independence at all. You're on a pathway to poverty. It's not going to get better.
And the number of people, according to this data as well, the number of people reliant on social assistance, including, subsidies, outside support, has also increased over the last two decades. We do know that the bulk of those people are the very young, so children, and people who are pensioners. Because again, for the most part, many people haven't been able to be in a position to save for the years where they are unable to work. And so that's where the state comes in. But we also know that social assistance, even though it is so wide, just isn't enough. We often hear from pension. We know that a basic basket of goods is now 3,000 rand easily, but that's much higher than what the pension is. So challenges in the short term with regards to affording food, electricity, you know, the basics, but even later on, if you are someone who's having to rely on state assistance, that particular issue also persists because that amount from the state isn't enough to cover basic necessities.
Great point. And I think too that from my lens, it looks like that, not looks like, it certainly is a hand out rather than a hand up. You know, social grants just kind of help you a little bit. I don't see how any household or any person can get through on the measly few hundred rand that is passed out to them every month. Yes, it does help. And certainly people are reliant on it. But to me, it's a picture of hand out and not hand up. We have to address that problem at its roots and in the core of it. And you can't just keep dishing out money. And we've seen that virtually skyrocket in the last 20 years from the survey. So people are becoming more reliant and more dependent and more expectant on it. But I'm not quite convinced that that's the answer. The answer has to be somewhere we've got to help people get into jobs. We've got to help people earn their own income. And that creates a far better footing for our economy going into the future. So when we now address things like jobs is the core. You know, if people can't earn, they can't live. And we've got so many, many opportunities. I mean, in our economy with all its resources, in the last 20 years, we should be really on the front foot with jobs, infrastructure. Why aren't we building roads and houses and schools and universities and creating jobs within that? Because it has a great advantage, because when you start employing people into those kinds of projects, they earn, they pay tax, and the tax base goes wider, which gives us another opportunity, to put money back into the economy and improve it even more. So it's a known story. I mean, when we faced the 2008 financial crisis, Barack Obama came straight into it from George Bush. And the first thing he did was he went straight into an infrastructural project whereby he wants to rebuild bridges, roads, and airports and things. And it created a lot of work, which did give us, well, give them a footing, you know, in the right sort of direction. Creating jobs is the key. And I'm afraid this particular article goes the other way, where more and more people are now unemployed and more people are now more dependent on social grants and things. And I think somewhere we've got to change. It's not moving in any positive direction at all.
And also, of course, I think there's also the, you know, with the middle class, so the people who do have jobs, there's also a bit of an intervention that's required there, because they themselves are also in quite a tough position, borrowing for food, not having any kind of safety nets for retirement. And I imagine if something were to happen and they were unable to keep working right now, no kind of income protection. So even among the middle class, that two-thirds who are earning, you know, 10 to 20,000 rand, there's also seemingly a bit of an intervention that's needed there. And I remember years ago when Minister Malusi Gigaba was still Minister of Finance, he'd raised a concern about the over-indebtedness of the middle class, and that being one of the concerns for Treasury. So there also seems at, you know, at the lower income level and in the middle income space, there needs to be some kind of intervention for both.
Well, definitely, you know, and when we look in ratios, in an ideal situation, you want no more than 30% of your income to be allocated towards paying off debt. And that's healthy debt because, you know, you have a house and a car and, you know, maybe a few other things. But 30% is the kind of norm for your allocation from your income. At the moment, we're in excess of 70%. So when you read into that, we start on the first of every month. You know, we're turning the corner on Wednesday. It's the 1st of May. Debit orders run off. Income comes in. All the debit orders run off. 70% of the average household, the average household is paying 70% towards some form of debt. And I mean, that's chronic. It means if you only got 30% left over, and there's very little to save on that because we've got spiraling inflation. We've got, you know, no jobs. We've got all the other problems to get through. And how do you survive on 30% of your income? I mean, it's just a crazy story.
Sure. Tough times. But Paul, as always, thank you for joining us to help us make sense of some of these issues.
Sorry, it was a bit depressing, but the point is, it is that that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And we've got to kind of get something into it to start changing it. That's the plight, that the plight and the vision is needed from the top to do something about that. And let's just hope that, yeah, it will turn a corner.
Paul, as always, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Gugu. Great chatting to you.
That's our certified financial planner, Paul Rolofse. Ideally, we should be contributing around 30% of our salary towards debt. Is that where your income to debt ratio is, or is it a little bit more? If you got paid on the 25th, which was on Thursday, was it on Thursday? Yes, if you got paid on Thursday, how much of your salary is left today, which is 3 days later? There was a study done, I think it was the end of last year, that the average middle income South African is out of money within 7 days of payday. Just how well are you doing? Is it more than 30% of your salary going towards debt? Some of the numbers say can even be high, 70% in some households. Where do you fall in that range? And if you got paid on Thursday, how much of your salary is left?